The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Today, the Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness. A cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Today we're going to talk about the essence of my message regarding the Bible. An overview. The Bible is the most widely distributed book in all of history, with the estimated volume printed being in excess of 5 billion copies as of 1995, translated into over 349 languages. See the Guinness Book of Records. Notwithstanding these statistics, the Bible is a very limited book that does not deliver on what is claimed for it. This broadcast will address the points which summarize the essence of my message regarding the Bible. Key points: we will note that the Bible is a very important history book, but not the Word of God. We will note that there are innumerable translations and versions and recommend a few. It is stressed that the Bible does contain obvious errors. It will be noted that the Bible is based on fragments of parchments or fragments of scrolls. It will be observed that there was miraculous assistance in compiling the Bible. The Bible gives little guidance regarding the anointed life or life generally. It is noted that the original texts reflect impressions, opinions, prejudices, judgments, etc. We will stress that the Creator says that the Bible is the greatest idol in the world today, and that he has not ceased speaking today. We will note that the Quran is anointed and worth reading once, and we will wrap up the preceding teachings on prayer. Finally, I would examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as an IT project manager. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve Him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis of what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio and TV program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. So that's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. So the reference is 2021-0406, the essence of my message regarding the Bible. The Bible is the most widely distributed book in all of history, with the estimated volume printed being in excess of 5 billion copies as of 1995, translated into 349 languages. See the Guinness Book of World Records, best-selling book of non-fiction on the internet. Notwithstanding these statistics, the Bible is a very limited book that does not deliver on what is claimed for it. Following are the points which summarize the essence of my message regarding the Bible. Number one, it is a very important history book. The Bible is a very important history book, nothing more. It traces some of the bloodlines of Yeshua and the bloodline of some of the most highly anointed ones from about 4,500 years ago to about 2,000 years ago. It contains other elements such as proverbs and wisdom, psalms, songs, etc., and some prophetic foretelling relating to the Almighty's plans for future events. I want to stress this, folks. Do not hear me say the Bible is not important. It's a very useful and important history book. It does contain some anointed passages. Not many, but some. The main thing, the main element of my message, and I'll talk about it in more detail as we continue, is not to put the Bible on a pedestal, not to worship it, and not to discount other anointed books that exist on the planet today. Yah has not stopped speaking to His people. There are books written today, books written in the recent past, books written in the last few centuries, books written before that, that are inspired and anointed at different levels. Read them as well as reading the Bible. Do not put the Bible on a pedestal. Secondly, the Bible is not the Word of God. Despite widespread belief that the Bible is the Word of God or the Word of Yah or whatever, this is false. The Almighty says that around 2.5% of the book is inspired. The rest is simply the accounts of men and women as recorded, transcribed, translated, and shared over the years. The lack of inspiration is not an issue, as most of the book is reasonably accurate historical accounts. Father Yah created you and me to have a deep personal relationship with him, not with a book. He expects you, expects me, to turn to him and not a book. If you go to the Bible believing it's the Word of God, the living Word of God, that it's without error, you're going to exercise your emuna, your faith, for that to manifest. And since Father is obliged to respond to faith, to emuna, you're going to have Father manifest to you through the Bible. It's not the Bible that's doing that. It's your misplaced faith that's forcing Father to communicate with you through the Bible. I can't stress this enough. He wants you to go to him personally, directly. No intervening parties, no intervening book. He wants you to have a deep personal relationship with him. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to listen to what he has to say. He wants to enter into dialogue with you. You can't do that if you're worshiping a book and calling it the Word of Yah, or the Word of God. Then there are innumerable translations and versions of the Bible. There are innumerable translations and the versions of the Bible reflecting the challenges of translating from Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, as well as various people's opinions as to what the original writers were seeking to communicate. These versions range from useful variants that are helpful to the reader to others that are in such gross error that it is dangerous to read them. There are a few translations where the writers died soon after compiling them because they had so much error and they were judged. I've read the Bible many times, over 20 times in the Old Testament. I'm referring here to the Protestant Bible. The Catholic Bible is slightly different. The Orthodox Bible is slightly different. The Church of the East is slightly different. The Jewish Bible is the Old Testament only. I'm referring here to the widely available Protestant Bibles. As I say, I've read the Old Testament at least 20 times, the New Testament about 35 times in numerous translations and versions. And the ones that I recommend are, number one, the Amplified Bible from Zondervan. It's available on Amazon, and there are also versions available free through Google search on the internet. It's a very useful translation that seeks to capture the multifaceted meaning of the original language. It's strongly recommended. It still contains numerous errors in terms of language, God, the Lord, Jesus, Jesus is God, etc. But it's very useful in other respects. I learned a lot from the Amplified Bible. Then the King James Version, a very early English translation that is regarded as the most accurate by many people, as it is free of many of the doctrinal influences of later versions. It contains the same errors as the Amplified regarding names, etc. The Amplified draws its errors from the King James Version, commonly referred to as the KJV. Not a particularly inspiring translation, but a good translation to read just to focus on the core script. And then for the Jewish Old Testament, I recommend the Living Torah by Rabbi Ariah Kaplan. It's available on Amazon, and there are also companion volumes, The Living Nach, The Early Prophets, also on Amazon. It's an informative rendering of the first five books of the Bible and of the early prophets with commentary. Also contains errors, but from a Jewish perspective. I recommend that you read each of the three that I've just named once a piece. There is no need to read and read and read. There is a huge amount of other inspired and anointed writing in the world. There are some references on my website, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. get a feel for the overall history. Most of my writings up to 2 years ago are on the website in PDFs that you can download and print. There's a huge amount to read. Then the fourth version that I recommend is the scriptures from the Institute of Scripture Research in South Africa, also available on Amazon, also from Kodesh Books in South Africa. Just search for www.kodeshbooks.co.za. That's Q-O-D-E-S-H. It's also available free electronically from the ISR-messianic.org downloads, free scriptures downloads.html. In my opinion, it's the most accurate English translation, but it's more difficult to read because it retains key Hebrew words. But it's worth reading once you have read the Amplified and the King James, and possibly the Jewish translation that I've just referred to. It has error with regard to representing Messiah as distinct from anointed one, and therefore a level of confusion about who Yeshua Jesus is. But apart from that, a very challenging and very powerful translation. I learned a number of key things from reading that translation. I've read it several times. I recommend that if you have not yet read the Bible, that you limit yourself to the above four versions. Read them in the sequence given, one time each, then move on to other reading. This will be more than sufficient. In reading the Bible, take particular note of the highly anointed ones, the ones filled with Father's Spirit, and where appropriate, ask Father to anoint you as they were anointed, or to give you a relationship with him as they had, or whatever you feel led to pray. Beyond that, there really is no point in spending further time on the Bible. Then the Bible does contain errors. Some of them are very obvious. Contrary to popular belief, the Bible does contain errors. For example, the death of Judas Iscariot is described completely differently in Matthew and Luke. Two conflicting reasons are given for King David numbering Israel, etc. These are glaringly obvious errors. There are websites that pick holes in the accuracy of the Bible, and I choose not to reference them because this is not the point. My point here is simply to say that the belief in certain quarters that the Bible is without error are provably false and should be rejected. My key point here is simply that, as with any other book, read with your critical faculties engaged and do not just take it for granted. Think about it, pray about it, ask for guidance. And if it really does not make sense, park it. Ask for guidance and do not take it on board unless you have clear guidance. This is so important, folks. If you think that the Bible is the Word of God and without error and the living Word of God, you put it up on a pedestal and you disengage your critical faculties. And then you absorb and take on board all sorts of erroneous thinking and erroneous teaching. Don't do that. If something in the Bible doesn't make sense, either park it or get on your knees and say, Father, please help me to understand what this really means. I got numerous answers. I filled 14 notebooks with the answers that I got to my questions about the Bible and elsewhere. Right then, and the New Testament is based on fragments of parchment. It is important to also be aware that the so-called New Testament originated from fragments of parchment from diverse sources. Of more relevance, many years ago, I came across a report that indicated that there were diverse manuscripts on which the so-called New Testament was based, such that differences between the versions of source manuscripts to the tune of around 1,250 had been found. I've not found this reference again, and there are indications that this information has been suppressed. The key point is that the New Testament is not nearly as reliable as it is portrayed to be by some. If you want to investigate further, see lists of New Testament manuscripts on Wikipedia and the associated links. Note that overall, the New Testament texts are remarkably reliable given their history. This is not a problem once you read the Bible as a collection of historical texts of some value and cease trying to force it to be the Word of God and without error. If you go to Wikipedia, you'll see photographs of fragments of some of the parchments on which the New Testament is based. It's quite shocking to realize that what we read as a continuum of text is in fact little patches. It's a patchwork quilt, effectively. And then the Old Testament is also based on fragments. Less clearly known is that the so-called Old Testament is also largely based on fragments, with all the so-called books prior to the exile to Babylon in about 597 BC being based on fragments. Consider the context to the statement. The people of Judah went into exile on foot, taking what they could in order to survive. The religious texts of the time were recorded on large scrolls that they were unable to take with them. So they took with them fragments, or when they were able to in Babylon, they wrote down passages from memory. If you read the Old Testament passages attentively, you will see that they are also made up of assemblies of fragments. So once more, I find that the Bible is not particularly reliable as a document and should be read with care and with prayer. Note that overall the texts are remarkably reliable given the history. Again, this is not a problem once you regard the Bible as a collection of historical texts of some value and cease trying to force it to be the Word of God and without error. It's so important not to disengage your critical faculties when you come to the Bible, and in fact, when you come to any area of religion or relationship with Father. Father does not expect you to just parrot and learn by rote. He expects you to read, ask questions, and get closer to him, not to the book. The book is just a useful reference. Then it's important to realize that there was indeed miraculous assistance in compiling the Bible. As a consequence of persecution and people going into exile in the centuries after Yeshua, the available writings were widely distributed, so that those who came to assemble the Bible had to go to some lengths to collect and collate as much information as possible. At this time, the satanic and demonic realm was doing all they could to eliminate all knowledge of the matters of the Almighty. And so there were instances of divine intervention and favor with regard to assembling the text. Because of this divine intervention, the idea that the resulting collection of text was the Word of God found its origin. As noted above, this belief is unfounded and erroneous. Beyond this, it is important to understand that if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, and go to it with the expectation, that expectation, and exercise your faith around it, that the Almighty is obliged to show up in response to your faith. This does not prove that the Bible is the Word of God. It simply proves the Almighty honors your misplaced faith. This is so important. If you exercise faith regarding any matter that is not in contradiction of Father's commandments, he will show up and he will respond if you're in right standing with him. And so you get people who get revelation from the Bible, they get answers to questions from the Bible, but what you find is they read that much in the Bible and Father has given them that much, and they somehow attribute that much to the Bible when that much is from the Spirit of Yah, from Yah himself? And then the Bible gives little guidance regarding the anointed life, the Spirit-filled life, or life generally. It's important to recognize that the bulk of the Bible is simply historical account. There are only limited passages that provide guidance on living the anointed life, or for that matter, any guidance on living life generally. To say the Bible is the handbook to life, as some claim, is therefore fallacious. This is not serious once you get let go of wrong beliefs. There are numerous other reasonably accurate history books and modern books with guidance on every specific topic, every possible topic. The art here is to pray appropriately and ask Father questions constantly. I can't stress this enough, folks. Father will answer every question, provided you get into a place of right relationship with him, you get reasonably free of sin, you spend time worshiping him, you spend time getting close to him. I learned a huge amount in the first few years after I came back to Father, partly by reading the Bible and asking questions left, right, and center. Why does it say this? Why did he do that? What happened here? Etc. And partly because I asked questions about all sorts of other things, partly because I listened to all sorts of anointed teachings, partly because I read all sorts of anointed books. The more you spend doing that, the closer you will get to Father and the less you will need the Bible as a source. Then the original texts reflect impressions, opinions, prejudices, judgments, etc. The original texts of the Bible reflect the impressions, opinions, prejudices, judgments, mistaken beliefs, etc. of the writers and those they wrote about. This applies to all writings. So a lot of vengefulness, anger, killing, etc. is more a reflection of the anger and prejudice of the individual human beings being described or writing the text, and very little a reflection of the true desires of the Almighty Creator. Fundamentally, Yah is loving, and he does not desire violence and ugly behavior. That is the preserve of fallen men. Note that very few people really understand the anointing. So virtually all writings about anointed ones, including the Bible, miss the point at some level. I've experienced this in my own life. I've experienced much under the anointing with inspiration, and I see how most people, even people close to me, do not understand what I'm saying much of the time. To illustrate my point, I read about Noah and the flood in the Bible, but there is no record of the private conversation between Noah and the Almighty Creator that led to the flood. There is also no record of the ice comet impact that caused the flood, because no human being outside of the ark survived to tell the tale, and those in the ark didn't see it. The same applies to many other situations. So the Bible, and for that matter, every third-party account of the conduct of the highly anointed ones, are at best superficial and at worst totally miss the point. And then, shocking, I guess, the Creator says the Bible is the greatest idol in the world today. So I see that the Bible is not what is claimed for it. At best, it's a useful history book, nothing more. However, it has been hyped up to be the most important book on the planet, to the point where, as I said before, more than 5 billion copies have been printed. You may ask how this is if the book is not what it is claimed for it. The brutal truth is that the satanic and demonic have encouraged distribution because it is such a limited and distracting book, and because of the lies that are propagated about it, being the Word of God, Scripture, etc. The forces of darkness have very successfully engineered and energized human beings to use the Bible for evil. The situation is so serious that Father Yah, the Almighty Creator, now hates the Bible and says that it is the greatest idol in the world today. Bible schools, Bible study, etc., are largely distractions that get in the way of the Almighty's desire for a deep personal relationship with every human being. Most believers and all unbelievers who to refer to the Bible have relationships with their Bible instead of seeking a deep personal relationship with the Creator, and for this reason, he hates it. Think about it, folks. The demonic realm controls the earth. The only reason they've allowed the Bible to be so successful is because it is a useful tool in leading people away from Father most of the time. Believing it's the Word of God and without error is a huge contributor to that. Then the Creator has not ceased speaking today. In considering all of the above, it is vital to recognize that the Creator has not ceased speaking to human beings today, let alone 2,000 years ago or 1,400 years ago or whatever. See the webpage, Yah did not cease speaking 2,000 years ago, for more on this. And there is no canon of Scripture. For this reason, it is manifest error to believe that modern writings by anointed writers are any less inspired or anointed than the Bible. In fact, I know of a number of at least one modern emissary apostle who has been given major revelation and has seriously discounted it because they did not consider their revelation to be as important as the Bible. Gross error. Folks, if Yah speaks to you today, what he says to you today is every bit as important as anything he has said to any other human being. And if he gives you a task, if he gives you a mission, you need to act on it. Don't fall into this trap of saying, yes, this is not the Word of God. This is not Scripture. This is not the canon of Scripture. Therefore, it's not that important. The individual that I mentioned delayed writing up his experiences for weeks because it didn't seem that important to him. And he subsequently got into serious error because of his wrong thinking. Folks, Father wants to speak to you today, and he will if you make the effort to learn to hear him. Then the Quran is more anointed than the Bible, and it should be read, but it also contains error. It's important to note that the Quran is overall more anointed than the Bible, and for the most part more accurate. The main difference between the Quran and the Bible is that the Quran condemns the Christians and the Jews for worshipping their books, the Bible, and the Christians for worshipping Isa or Jesus or Yeshua. That said, many Muslims have fallen into the trap of worshipping the Quran and Muhammad. I strongly recommend that you read the Quran at least once. Discount the calls to violence, just as you should discount the calls to violence in the Bible. Beyond that, there are a huge number of other books available to read and apply. See the webpage Important Information towards the bottom of the menu on the website. Folks, it's important, if you're a Muslim, recognize that the Quran is important, but pretty much everything that I've said about the Bible, apart from the fragments, is valid for the Quran as well. It's valid for any book that is put on a pedestal and worshipped. Any book, no matter what book it is the work of human hands with maybe sometimes some level of inspiration from the Almighty. Never put a book on a pedestal. Never say the book is so important that you have to kill people because they do something or speak against the book. It's not right. And if you are doing that, if you are one of these people who's going around killing people because they've said something bad about the Quran, you're going to get a nasty shock when you die if you are a believer. So I've written much more about the Bible. See the Bible webpage and the child pages towards the bottom of the website. The endtimeissueministries.org website contains over 1,000 webpages of information on the anointed life, and generally mostly written at a moderate level of anointing and inspiration. Most of this material is available in 15 books for download at no charge. Go to the Compilation of Most Writings webpage and Child webpages on the website. There's about 9,000 pages there, so there's a huge amount to read. There's some level of anointing, some more, some less, some more inspiration, some less. As I've said, read it. If you don't agree, if you're not sure, ask Father, put it on one side, and take what you can and leave the rest. I encourage you to take the Bible and any other book off any pedestal that you may have placed it on and place it at the same level and reverence and esteem as other anointed books you may have. Please feel free to email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org for more information or to discuss this material. Folks, as I've said, there is so much useful and important material written on YouTube, etc. Yes, it does require discretion. It does require discernment. It does require that you critically examine what's there. Don't just take it all. And some things may have truth on one page and you might ignore the rest of it. I've had Father lead me to a bookshop in London to buy a book where literally he only wanted me to read one page. That completes my message on the Bible. I've got a few minutes to go, so I'm going to complete my last week's message on the essence of my message regarding prayer, and I'm going to talk a bit more about fasting. Note that a total 3-day fast is required to break certain witchcraft and get rid of certain demons and curses and shift certain other things. I would still take the bread and wine and in limited quantities, and you must still drink water. Whenever you fast, do not fast water. You must drink plenty of water. Over that period of fasting that I referred to last week, and in the months that followed after I did 10 3-day fasts, my understanding of various things consolidated, and I wrote well over 100 articles, all of which are on the website. We're talking now back in 2000, 2001. In 2010, I was told that in order to enter into full-blown ministry, operating in the power gifts of the Spirit of Yah, conducting spiritual warfare at a level where one could combat major demons, witches, etc., heal the sick, raise the dead, and be used for other miracles, it was necessary to go on a 40-day total fast, only drinking water. I've met several people who've done such fasts and who walk in great power and authority in the spirit realm. One of these people had been used to raise about 19 people from the dead, one who had been in the morgue for 2 days. Note that you're likely to become extremely weak during a 40-day fast, water-only fast, and are unlikely to be able to engage in business or even normal domestic activities after about 2 to 3 weeks. So the series of 3-day fasts is more practical for many people, but it is not a substitute for a 40-day fast if you are really going all out. On the basis of this experience, I have to say that if you claim to be serious about serving Yah and you've not fasted at the sort of levels that I've referred to, then you are kidding yourself and you are playing games. If you're serious about serving Yah, you need to pray the prayers contained in the previous 3 broadcasts regularly and start fasting. It's as simple as that. At the start of a fast, take bread and wine or grape juice, the communion elements, and pray. Father, I come to you in the name of Yeshua. I recall that on the night that he was betrayed, Yeshua took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to those who followed him, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this as oft as you shall eat it in remembrance of me." Father, I ask that as I partake of this bread, that I may partake of all that it represents to you. Each person eats a portion of bread. You should leave no remnants. Then take the cup, saying, "Father, I recall that after supper, Yeshua took the cup and gave it to those who followed him, saying, 'Drink ye all of this. This is my blood of the new covenant, given for you and for many for forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me.' I ask that as I partake of this cup, that I may partake in all that it represents to you. Declare the objectives of your fast and ask Father to grant you your petition. You can do this morning and evening of every day of every fast, and more frequently if you feel impressed to do so, or if you need to take medication that requires that you have something in your stomach. So important, folks. You need to fast. If you really are unable to go on a total fast for medical reasons or because you don't have the willpower, even to do a three-day water-only fast, then fast either on fruit or vegetables or soup in limited quantities. You might also pray, Father, I dedicate this fast to you. As I fast, I pray that you will help me to come closer to you and to live a life that is pleasing to you, plus whatever else you may be fasting for. Pray whatever comes to you up for you. So what I'm saying to you is, if you're going to fast, take the bread and the wine, get close to Father, be explicit about what you're believing for on the fast. Father, I'm seeking truth. Father, I'm seeking a power anointing. Father, I'm seeking whatever it is you're seeking. I can't tell you a whole recipe. It's up to you to craft your relationship with Father to the best of your ability, on your initiative, through your relationship with him, through the leading that he gives you, through the questions that you ask him, through the answers that he gives you. All I can do is sensitize you to the reality that it is possible and encourage you to go all out and to do it. Father wants you to become his friend. What I've shared with you are elements of what's required to become his friend. There is much, much, much more on the website. There are over 2,400 articles on the website on all sorts of different topics. I encourage you to go and read them, put them into practice, get close to Father. So I want to close off by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, I want to stress, Father created human beings to be his friends, his companions, his confidants. His intention was that every single human being on the planet should be his friend. His desire today is for you, not the person to the right of you or the left of you or behind you or in front of you. His desire is for you to become his friend. It doesn't matter whether you are rich or poor. It doesn't matter whether you are old or young. It doesn't matter whether you are well-educated or poorly educated. It doesn't matter your race or your tribe or your nation. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or somewhere in between. It doesn't matter whether you've got black hair or blonde hair, blue eyes or brown eyes. He wants you to become his friend. And I encourage you to make that decision and start that journey today. Just to wrap up, some key documents and a video on the website: the Compendium of Important Articles, video Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity? The Essence of My Message to Christians, and one for Jews, to Muslims, other religions, and unbelievers. all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. It's on the screen. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom of the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio in quotes. I looked on Google a day or two ago, and there are quite a few podcast sites that have these recordings. Then books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. And I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. If you have been touched by the thought of becoming a friend of Father, you might like to join me in praying something like the following. Father Yah, I come to you in the name of Yeshua. James Robertson says I can become your friend. I choose now, Father, to seek to become your friend. I ask you to help me. I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. I ask you to show me what to read, what to listen to, what to watch. I ask you to help me to pray. I ask you to bring people into my life who can help me. I ask you to take people who are obstructing me from that objective out of my life. I ask you to open doors in my life that will help me to get closer to you, and close doors in my life that will distract me and take me away from you. Father, I want to become your friend. I believe it's possible. I believe now it's possible to become your friend, and I choose now to start that journey. I realize it's going to take some time, but I'm willing, Father, to lay down my life in order to have a deep personal relationship with you, in order to help you get your will done on earth, and in order to qualify for a high throne and a position of great esteem and authority in heaven for eternity. I thank you, Father, that you've heard me and you grant my petition. Good night.
Father, I come to you.